You can take your Bibles and turn to James. James in the New Testament. Last couple of times that I've taught on attributes of God. And started out with a teaching on God is light and that great truth. And that we have to understand when we read about God and different things in the Word, we always keep that truth in mind. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, neither any shadow of turning. Then we looked at God is love. You know, He's a loving God. He takes care of us. He watches over us. He gives. And He is selfless in His love towards us. And we also looked at His faithfulness. After that, that God is a faithful God. He's always reliable. He always does what he says he's going to do. Did I do any other ones? I can't remember. God the Creator. Yeah, the magnitude of God was the next one. He's a creator, and how He made everything, and how He's so incredible. And you know, so today we're going to look at God and His infinite knowledge. And I said infinite knowledge. Sometimes theologians will say that God is omniscient, which means He's all-knowing. Really, the thing with God is you really just can't, we have no clue to what He knows and how much He knows and how much that knowledge is. I mean, we know that He created the heavens and the earth, so He knows all about the universe. He knows all about the physical laws and the chemical laws and all the other biological laws, the mathematical laws. I mean, He invented all that stuff. He figured it all out. So what does God know? We can say this much, that he said, when He says He knows something, He knows it. We know that much. When He says something was, we absolutely know it was. And when He says something will be, we know it will be. And we know that He has a great expanse of knowledge. What is the total extent of God's knowledge and understanding? Is probably way beyond our ability to understand and comprehend anyway. Because God is infinite, which means there's no limits on Him. And, you know, as far as we understand, and we have finite minds. So we are limited. We're extremely limited. As smart as maybe the smartest person that ever lived would be, which would be Jesus Christ, but, you know, other than Him, Einstein, Newton, all these other guys, as smart as they are, they're pretty limited. So the rest of us are really in bad shape. But God helps us. God helps us via His Spirit. His Spirit in us helps us to understand what we need to understand. He gives us the wisdom of His wisdom, so we know what to do. So we're going to look at James here in chapter 1, in verse 4. It says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire," or whole, "wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So, you know, if we need an answer, if we need wisdom, God will give it to us. He'll tell us what we need to do. And of course, wisdom is what? It is the proper application of knowledge. And when it happens to be with God, spiritual wisdom would be proper application of spiritual knowledge, or a knowledge of God's word is true wisdom, because that's the truth, you know, and it's eternal truth. So His wisdom is eternal wisdom. Let's go to Psalm 139. A lot of verses in the Old Testament concerning God's knowledge and wisdom. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I know that when I was young, I thought I knew everything. And the older I got, the dumber I got. Because the older you get, the more you realize how little you really know. And it used to make me angry because my father would tell me something and he would always be right. And I could never understand why. But anyway, I had a friend that was a lawyer and he said, you know, when you're a first year law student, you know everything. The second year, he says, you don't know quite so much. And the third year, you realize you don't know anything. So that's probably true of doctors and other things too. You know, they start out and they think, wow, I know, I have all this knowledge. But then as they go along in real life, they realize they don't know so much. Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Wow, right off the bat. You know, I remember somebody saying once, he knew me better than me because he knew the word better than I did. And at the time, that was very true. You know, because the word tells us a lot about human nature. And if you know a lot about the word, you know a lot about human nature. But God says he has searched and known. He knows us. He knows us inside out. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every atom. He knows every strand of muscle and fiber in our being. Doesn't it say somewhere he knows every hair upon our head? Verse 2, thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Wow. The word thoughts there is inward thoughts. He knows my inward thoughts afar off. He knows when we sit down and when we get up. He knows when we get up before we get up. He just knows. He knows us. He knows what we're going to do. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. All my ways. You know, and God does. Pretty crazy. So sometimes we think we're getting away with stuff. We're really not getting away with anything, you know. We may fool each other. We may even fool ourselves. But we don't fool God, you know. So that takes us back to James again. If you lack wisdom, ask him, and he'll give it to you liberally. He'll give you some understanding about what you're doing, what you need to do and where you need to go. And of course, if you read his word and study his word, it'll help you. I read a great thing the other day. I'm reading this book about this guy during World War II, and he's a Lutheran minister. And one of the things he's writing to a guy, and he's saying, I just believe the word of God. And when you take the word and you really dwell upon it, then the word can reveal its heart to you. And if you just read it superficially, then you just read on the surface. That's my paraphrase. You have to really read the book to get the greatness of what he talked about. But it's true. You know, you got to get into the Word. And then as you get into the Word, as God works with you, he can reveal things to you. He can explain it to you. He can broaden your understanding and your vision and your knowledge. So, verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows every word you speak, every word you think. He knows it all. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. And, you know, that's especially true of us. Just, you know, in this case, this is a psalm of David. And David was a special guy. You know, he was a prophet of God. He was the one that God called to be king of Israel because he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who God promised.
David is a special guy. I'm sorry.
He's a special. Oh, Dave, him. Okay. Yeah.
We should never sit.
You never should. Anyway, King David. King David of Israel was called of God, was a man after God's own heart. And he was one that God promised that the Messiah would come from his bloodline. So his hand was upon him and he watched over him. But once we are born again and have Holy Spirit, we are God's children. So we are beyond what King David was. and God's hand is upon our lives, and he watches over us even more than he watched over David, if that's possible. I don't know if that's, but you know, we're the apple of God's eye. We're his special ones, his beloved. We hear it in manifestations every week. He called us little people, Jay.
I heard that.
Okay, and I immediately thought of you when that was said in the manifestation. So thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. What a great thing. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And that is true. You know, the knowledge of God and what he knows and his ability, his strength, his power, his love, his greatness is just beyond us. But he gives us little glimpses. He tries to communicate via the Bible, the Word. You know, it's an incredible thing what he does. We are sense knowledge people. You know, we have spirit, but we learn by the senses, most things, until we get born again. And then we read the Word of God. And God, who is spirit, communicates spiritual truths through a sense knowledge medium of words. And he does it in such a way that it's incredible when we take the time to dig into it, to look at it, to dwell upon it. And we allow him to teach us and show us and help us to understand. What a great God. So it is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verse 7, whither I go, shall I go from my spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, you can't get away from God. You know, now, is he all present? You know, I don't know. But as far as we're concerned, he's always there for us. You know? Did you ever see, what is it, that stupid movie with Jim Carrey where God Almighty, where he becomes, and he, how does he answer all the prayers? And he has a computer and you're constantly running. How does God answer millions? But yet he does, doesn't he? He hears every prayer. It says his ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous, which means he hears every prayer of every child that he has all the time. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You know, God's everywhere. God's there for us. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You know, he's there for us. He's always there for us. How does he do that? I don't know, and I don't care. You know? You know, Jimmy and Warren could probably explain how the light turns on. I don't have a clue. I just know it turns on. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know, and we know that we are lights that shine in a dark and perverse world. And whenever we shine the light of the Word in our life, it dispels the darkness. You know, it gets rid of it. God is light. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So we don't know a whole lot, really, in relation to God. We don't really understand everything about God. We know, wow, he's really great. He really is, and he should be praised and should hold a place in our lives that is above any other place, you know? I love my wife with everything I have, and I would die for her, but I love God even more. And I hope she loves God even more than she loves me. Same thing with my kids and my friends. You know, I love my sons, but I love God more than I love them. And when it comes to choosing, if I had to choose, it would be God, hands down. It wouldn't be a choice, really. You know, that's where God's supposed to be in our lives. He's supposed to be number one above everything else. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel's another one of those great guys that God really watched over and took care of, because God called him and he answered God and he served God. In verse chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." This is where Daniel is in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has dreams and he wants somebody to interpret it. Nobody can interpret it. And so then Daniel interprets it, because God gives him the interpretation. "Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and forever, for wisdom and might are his." You know, the Word of God is our standard for truth. It's our standard. And, you know, because it's from God. And so God is sets the standard for life and for truth. And that's why we need to know the Word, so we can measure things according to the Word of God, right? It gives us the answers to things, but it comes from God. We ought to always remember that. It's God-breathed, right? "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Who gives it to them? God. God gives wisdom to the wise, truly the wise. Not, you know, some guru sitting on a mountain or some philosopher, but truly wise men. Wise men, their wisdom comes from God, and people that are truly knowledgeable, their knowledge comes from God. You know, and if you study and learn about some of the great men in history, a lot of what they knew and a lot of what they learned or invented or designed was because of God, you know? You know, it's all because of God that we have peanut butter. Right? Because George Washington Carver, he was all about God, and he said, "God, teach me." And God taught him, and he invented peanut butter. You know, Sir Isaac Newton, he figured out calculus, and he figured out gravity, but he was a very devout Christian who studied the Word of God, and God worked in his life. And it goes on and on like that. The truly knowledgeable and the truly wise, it's because they believe in God. Verse 22, "He revealeth deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what he desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." And of course, you know, Daniel went to Babylon as basically a slave, as a captive, as a young man, 12, 13 years old. And he rose to be the second most powerful man in the empire, not just under Nebuchadnezzar, but under four different kings for his whole life. And it was pretty incredible. And it was only because of what? Because God gave him wisdom and understanding. And he stood for God. Pretty great. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We all know chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, God's word is that sharp. It is that precise. It is that incisive. It's a good word, whatever it means. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight." But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Isn't that something? You know, he just knows everything. And everything, he knows every creature and everything about every creature. And that's whom we have to do. That's who we deal with. That's who we look to. To really be humble and meek before God, we need to understand how incredible God's knowledge and wisdom is and how limited and inept we are without him, without God. You got to get to that point where you realize that you need God and you need him all the time and you need him in every situation in life, in every circumstance. God has to be the one that's there with you. Let's go to Ezekiel. It's a good exercise to learn the books of the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 11. See, one of the things that we learn is that we are to be meek and humble before God. And that's how we learn. You know, it's only by the grace of God that I know anything, that I can do anything. Chapter 11 of Ezekiel, verse 5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of you. Wow. It's scary, except when you know that God is a loving God and a caring God. And he looks past our failings and problems, and he just works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, you know? But he knows our every thought. Now, it doesn't say that about the devil. The devil cannot read your mind. He can't. But God knows our every thought. What an incredible thing. Let's go to Psalms again, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I had a lot of fun looking up all this stuff. Good stuff. 13, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, the word pitieth is loveth, so the Lord loveth them that fear him, which is what? Have reverence, be in awe of him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He knows, he remembers our frame. He knows our frame, you know, what we're made out of. We're dust. You know, the word Adam really means dirt, right? That's what it means. In Hebrew, the word for earth is Adama, which is the feminine, because, you know, we say Mother Earth. Okay, let's go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. These psalms here at the end, I can't remember which where it begins, but they're called the Psalms of Praise. You know, the last several, I don't know how many, 8 or 10 psalms are called Psalms of Praise. Okay? So it's good to praise God. Verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Oh, that's nice, huh? He heals the broken heart and bounds up their wounds. Verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. How many stars are there? You ever been out in the middle of nowhere where there's no light to wash out the sun? There's so many stars, it's overwhelming. You know, you couldn't count them if you wanted to. He knows them all, and he knows them by name. He has a name for every... How many names... You ever get a book of names, you know, when we were having babies, you know, we would buy a name book, and it would give you the names. And, you know, it's a couple of hundred, and then, you know, and even at that, it doesn't have them all, but, you know, there's a limited amount of names, right? And every once in a while, you come up with a new one, or somebody makes up a name. Like, Amangelo. Arangelo. Yeah, we okay, it's a story. But anyway, so, you know, but he names all this. That's billions. Billions. Billions of names. That's pretty impressive in itself that he could name them all. That he could think up those many names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is what?
Infinite.
Infinite. What does that mean?
Without
end. There's no end to his understanding. Incredible. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with the clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, or respect him, or keep him in awe, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. See? What a great God, and he knows everything, and he prepared everything. He figured everything out. You know, sometimes men will try to save a species, right? They'll try to do things like, you know, species is dying off. So they, back in the 60s or something, or the 70s, some lady wrote a book saying DDT is causing the eagle's eggs to be fragile, and they're breaking, so the eagles are dying out. So they banned DDT, but then the mosquitoes grew and millions of people died from malaria and things like that, you know, diseases carried by mosquitoes. So, you know, no matter what man does, he doesn't have the answer. But God figured out, you know, all the cycles for animals to migrate, and the way they have their mating cycles and the food cycles and all the other stuff. And, you know, everything in nature is eventually eaten by something else. Go figure. You know, he even invented the microorganisms that finish off the work when it's leftovers. And he even invented garbage men, you know, the vultures and the crows and stuff to eat up the garbage so it wouldn't spread diseases to people. God figured it all out. Okay, let's go back to Daniel. Now, as concerning this great knowledge and wisdom and understanding that God has, how does that concern us? Well, it concerns us in several ways. Number one, he knows all about us. He knows us. So he knows how to help us. You know, if you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, they will try to ask you questions to delve in, to get to the bottom of what's going on, to try to help you and try to figure out things, to try to get to know you better. But God knows us completely, inside and out. How about that? And then when we pray, you know, we pray to God and we ask God for help. Well, God already knows what's going on. He already knows. So does that mean you should never pray? No. It's good to pray because it helps you to understand that God's there with you and he's going to help you with this thing. Chapter 9 of Daniel. Daniel's praying to God. And verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, referring to Darius the Mede, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel's been there for 70 years. He went there as a kid, so he's in at least his 80s, maybe his 90s when he's doing this. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, dreadful means awesome, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Then we go on to verse 20. So he's praying to God, and he goes on, and all the verses in between now and verse 20 are the words of his prayer. And whiles I was speaking, verse 20, in other words, while he was praying, and confess, Whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. If that happened to me, I'd probably die. I'd probably have a heart attack, seize up, and fall over. And the angel would have to raise me from the dead. But Daniel was a better guy than I. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." He came to give him what?
Skill
and understanding. See, God just does that for us. At the beginning of thy supplication, at the beginning of his prayer, at the very beginning, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. You know, as he started praying, God already was ready and sending Gabriel to answer the prayer. Unbelievable. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And he goes on to explain to him the answer. But you know what? We're beloved. We're greatly beloved also, aren't we? So why won't God do that for us too? He knows everything about us. He knows our needs. He knows our concerns. He knows what we need in life. But we just need to go to him and acknowledge him and praise him and look to him for the answers and allow him to work in our lives and be humble. Be humble before him. I got lots of other verses here. We're not going to make them all. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Remember, in Peter it says that his ears are always open to our prayers. Isaiah, there's a verse also talks about how he answers our prayers. What did I say? Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, the counsel of man is here today, gone tomorrow. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's good for the present time, sometimes it's not. God's word standeth forever. The principles and the keys that God gives us to live by stand forever. You know, to be faithful and keep God first is always going to bless your life and help you. To give to God is always going to bless your life. To love others as you would be loved is always going to bless your life, regardless of the situation. To be faithful in prayer and supplication to God is just going to help you. To keep God's word in your mind and renew your mind to God's word is always going to bless your life. These things will always bless you. Let's go to Psalm 44. Man is, his idea and understanding is transitory, but God's word standeth sure. Psalm 44, verse 21, it says, God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Again, he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows it. He knows everything deep. Sometimes we don't even know the secrets of our own heart. You know, sometimes we have things in there we don't even know about. You know, we have biases and prejudices. We have things we fear or, you know, don't want to do. And God knows these things. And sometimes we don't even know it till they come up in life. But God knows it. God knows ahead of time. And he can help us with those things. He can help us overcome the fears and the prejudices and the biases and the concerns and the worries. He can show us how. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 55. Probably all know these too, but this is great thing again to remember. Because this is kind of where we started. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, he wrote this to Israel, you know. But generally, it's true of mankind, isn't it? Mankind is, it's his thoughts are not godly thoughts, and his ways are not godly ways. And the only way we get to be where our thoughts are God's thoughts and our ways are his ways is that we put his word in our mind, we start thinking it, and we start doing the things that he would have us to do. You know, that's it. Then it goes, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Jesus Christ said what? He said, put your treasures in heaven. Put your treasures, have your treasures in things above, not on earth. Which meant what? You know, have your thoughts and your desires upon God. You know, not upon the things of the earth. And let's go to Ephesians. I wanted to close there because I thought it would be a great thing to remember. So God's knowledge is so incredibly immense that it's hard for us to understand. It's beyond attaining, but he's there for us. He's willing to give us his knowledge. He's willing to help us with our understanding. We're not going to read this verse, but what does it say in chapter 1? It says, I open the eyes of my understanding. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And the word lowliness is humility, and meekness is willingness to receive. You know, we have to have that humility and that meekness if we're going to walk with God. You know, we have to allow him in our lives. We have to allow him to teach us and show us. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in the Word 2 weeks or 30 years, you still need that. You still need that meekness and that humility because we're people. We're so inept and so short of ability compared to God. And we can only see with and know by the five senses, and it's that Spirit of God that works in us that can show us and help us beyond the five senses realm, can guide us. And he knows even before things happen, and then he can help us through them. He knows our prayers when we start praying them, and he knows what we need. He knows every fiber of our being. He knows the secrets of our heart. He knows our frame. He knows that we're weak and we're fragile and we're short on ability. So we just have to go to God and allow God to teach us. We go to his word and we put his word in our brain and we allow him to show us and teach us. We learn the keys to how the word rightly interprets itself so we can keep it straight in our minds and we don't get sidetracked. And then God can truly work in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. Then we can truly serve him and work for him. Okay? So, Father God, we thank you for being such a great God, for having such great knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and that you're so willing to give it to us so that we can learn and understand. And I know that we're just not able to receive all that you'd love to give us, but that we can grow in our understanding and we can grow in our ability to receive, and that we can stay meek and we can stay humble and we don't get on our own high horse, and that we just always recognize that it's you, God, that did it and got us to the place we are. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.